Hey guys, this is Joe. Today I want to introduce you to our partner Vanta. Achieving ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliance can unlock major growth for your company and build customer trust, but the process can be time intense and costly. Vanta automates compliance, getting you audit ready quickly and saving up to 85% of associated costs. And Vanta scales with your business, helping you enter new markets. Join 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora that trust Vanta. Claim 20% off Vanta at vanta.com/startupradio. That's vanta.com, spelled vanta.com/startupradio.
Welcome to startuprad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRate.io, your startup podcast from Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, as well as the founder of Startup.radio, the world's number one tech entrepreneurship radio. Today, I would like to welcome Christian here with me. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Totally my pleasure. Can you introduce yourself to our audience here?
Yeah, totally. I'm Christian, based in Berlin. I'm with NGP Capital. Prior to coming back to my hometown, Berlin, I also spent 10 years in New York, so kind of a global citizen here. NGP Capital is a global venture fund. We are obviously based in Berlin, but also based in Palo Alto, Shanghai, and Helsinki, so really all over the world, actively investing and leading Series A and Series B in B2B tech.
And that's what we will be digging a little bit into, because NGP Capital has done some research on the DACH area, for everybody who doesn't know that, because we are in promotion with Castbox, one of the world's largest independent podcasting apps, and it's going like crazy right now. We're in this on the start page all across Europe. Thank you very much, Izzy, by the way, here. And for everybody who doesn't know DACH, it's Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, Deutschland, Österreich, Schweiz, a little bit Liechtenstein, and a little bit tiny pieces of German-speaking area around it that we cover. And you felt the need to write some research here. Can you take us a little bit through before I go through my questions?
Yeah, totally, Joe. Maybe the background here, why we did it, is because we can. We have a tool that is called Q. It's an own development, another venture fund called EQT. As a mother brain, we have our Q, which is copied from James Bond, you know, the nerd with all the cool fancy toys. And so Q is our fancy toy analyzing data. And so we use that tool to look at what's going on. As we got a lot of questions, how is it going? Is venture funding up or down? So we thought, you know, why not look at our core region here where we have an office, and let's try to answer this question from kind of post-COVID to today, Q2, namely. And the findings were quite interesting. We, as you said, Joe, we looked at Switzerland, Austria, and Germany, and each region, of course, is quite different. Germany, maybe not surprising, is the largest one, also the largest country. But Switzerland was a big surprise for us. They are really punching over the weight line for the size of the country and the ecosystem. It's quite astonishing what they have built, and the activity is going on both in venture funding, new creation, deep tech, software, quite diverse. So we looked at all this data and found, obviously, from the quite hot year of 2021, 2022, a dip. So it was all about how much did venture funding reduce from one year to another, and so that's all in the report here. And Germany was really the one that was maybe the most stable, if you want to describe it this way, had the least decline of those three countries. And the reason, in our view at least, is that maybe Germany is a bit more mature than Switzerland and Austria. But also, if you look at the diversity, both in regions. It's not just Berlin, it's also Munich, Stuttgart, Cologne. It's a lot of areas, and the topics are also very diverse. So obviously everybody could see how certain technologies like fintech took a big dip. And if Germany would be all fintech, then it would look very different. But Germany is all about climate tech, all about robotics, all about topics that are maybe more hot this year than last year. And for that reason, kind of balancing a bit the dips that we have seen in other countries.
Mm-hmm. To put this in perspective for all the people who are new to our outlet here, we are talking around roughly 80, 85, 82 million people living in Germany, and somewhere close to 9 million, something like 8 point a little bit population for Austria as well as Switzerland. But Austria almost has half of the GDP of Switzerland. Last data I have gotten is that we're talking in Germany about 4.2 trillion GDP, 810 billion for Switzerland, and 480 billion always euros in Austria. That's the data I have gotten. So it's quite not surprising that Germany is by far the largest. Can you tell us some of the most surprising facts you found here?
Yeah, I think this goes really back to Switzerland. I didn't think that Switzerland would be such a strong force in the DACH region compared to Germany. As you said, Germany is much bigger, but if you look at per capita, Switzerland is three times the size of Germany. So $351 here per capita versus $113 or so dollars in Germany. So it's really much more similar in a way to Israel, which Israel is infamous for punching over the weight line and being a small country, but being the world capital of startups in itself. So that was a big surprise. And as we also looked at some of the reasons, it was maybe not surprising that the university ecosystem of Switzerland had a lot to do with that. ETH is obviously a global renowned name, but also the University of Lausanne. Those are all top universities. And I think the top 10 universities are still better than the best university in Austria, also putting some of the foundational maybe talent pool in perspective here. So it was that was a surprise. Maybe another surprise was around food and travel. Not an industry where we spend a lot of time, but the data showed that those industries had the biggest rebound. Maybe also not surprising given what we all had to endure during COVID, that we wanted to get out, we wanted to go in restaurants, we wanted to travel. And so that was also reflective here in the data.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about Germany did fare better, but we have to admit it was also a decline in terms of startup funding, but it was not as big as, for example, France. Do you have any explanation why this was the case?
Yeah, it's probably a lot of things, but France is a country that's very focused on Paris and attracts maybe a certain startup and entrepreneur, where Germany is all over the place. You have, of course, Berlin being the largest ecosystem, but Munich not too far off there. And you have a lot of second tier or third tier cities even that attracted funding. And the background of those cities is also as diverse as the cities. As I was mentioning earlier, you have really everything from a robotic to a fintech to Web3 and climate tech. If you're very broad and diverse and put your, let's say, coins on many horses, and you're maybe less impacted. So that would be one explanation to that. And at least from what I'm hearing, and that's just anecdotal, is the language barrier is much less in Germany than maybe going to Paris or going to France. And so international investors have it easier to invest also here in the DACH region versus maybe in France sometimes if they don't have a local presence.
Mm-hmm. What we also try to highlight in our news is all those places most people, even in Germany, never have heard of, but they're doing awesome stuff. They have a handful of awesome startups, and we always try to highlight this. So If you're talking about Germany, you're not only talking about Berlin, you're not only talking about Munich. It's not really scientifically valid, but if you look at the annual survey the German Startup Association does, they give you a rough estimate that 80% of the startup activity are outside of this hub. As I said, not completely scientific. It's just a rough number to show you that there are two big hubs in Germany by now. Hopefully there will be a few more, but it's by far not the major activity as it is in other countries. Talking about major activities here, I've seen you hinted in your research that AI startups are hot.
Yeah, it was probably the biggest spike in all the data that we have shown there. AI funding went through the roof. It was extremely a big peak in the first half of this year. Maybe not surprising. This goes kind of in this category why also Germany had less of a dip. Germany has a long history and is good positioned to be part of that AI race, whether that's open source, which really a lot of the open source history was born in Germany, but also there were always a lot of applications developed around automation, whether that's robotic on the very industrial hardware savvy side or on the software side, where AI was leveraged for all kinds of things. We have, of course, the famous unicorns, DeepL and others that show where it also can be used. But we have also less known ones like Rasa AI, born out of Berlin and Edinburgh, all about contextual AI, and also born, again, out of open source. So it is just maybe continuation of what we have been seeing over the last years already. And I think we also have a lot of B2B investors in Germany. Maybe that's also not just looking at the startup itself, but also where's the money coming from? We have a lot of B2B money in Germany, and AI is ultimately, the ROI here is extremely, extremely transparent in B2B, hence also attracting a lot of funding from local and international investors.
Mm-hmm. 2 points here. First, what many people don't know, Germany has one of the largest research centers for artificial intelligence for quite some time already here in Germany. They have more than 1,100 employees, of which more than half are students working there, but it's nonetheless a really, really big and very important institution. And secondly, of course, B2B is important because we are a B2B startup podcast around here. So having talked about this, what we also saw was that there was a divergence in terms of funding. So we had in the very early phases an uptick in funding, and then at the end of the funding, say Series A, Series B, you had fewer but bigger fundings. It seems like there is a winner takes it all market developing, but does it give you hope that there's so much seed pre-seed funding going on right now building the next generation of startups?
Yeah, you know, I'm extremely excited about innovation and see what's happening in Europe. And so seeing a lot of pre-seed and seed companies coming out of this, of course, is extremely exciting. And I think if you look back at what happened after economical crisis in the past, and here we probably have to look through the US versus Germany, because 10 years ago, there was not too much going on the startup side here. But it was always a generation that was started roughly like 1 to 2 years after such economical downturns. And, you know, we could say we're still in one. But what I'm very hopeful about is that the companies that are being created right now, those are not the hobby startup founders, right? Those are the guys that are really serious about it. Why would you leave your job and go into this very uncertain startup life? Doesn't make sense in the first place. So I think right now we see a lot of serious founders. We see a lot of people that really have experience and believe in it. That's one thing. That also explains a bit why the average funding for a seed company actually went up on average, which is kind of counterintuitive and also opposite to Series A and B. Here it went down, but seed kind of the average round size went up. My explanation, and I'm sure there are many others, is that you can actually build much more already with very little money due to generative AI in coding, generative AI in creating a copy for your website and all of those things. So once you get to a seed round, you actually already have more, you have more proof points, and hence you can, again, maybe raise more money because you already have proven more things. And that's a development really that we have been seeing for the last 10 years. When I started in venture capital in 2011 in New York, Series A round was normally between $5 to $6 million. Now we have sometimes pre-seed rounds or seed rounds this size. But I think it continues this development here, and it gives me a lot of hope.
Do you see the importance of international investors, especially talking about larger Series A, Series B round? Because it used to be case when I covered with Chris together in our monthly news wrap ups, the really big rounds, the usual names where I play, sometimes, Tiger Global, SoftBank International, Tencent have the names as lead investors of very large rounds in the past. Do you think that is important here?
Yeah, I think those normally come in more on the later stages, Series B, Series Cs. Having said that, Tiger Global also came in much earlier, but I would say they're less of an active fund right now anymore, but there are many others. And to your question, I think, yes, international funding is so important for so many reasons. A German startup doesn't want to stay in the German market. So how do you actually get out there? One source and one input here certainly is international investors, people that understand the market, know how to create a company in the US. So I'm super hopeful, actually, that this continues. I know there are some people that see, like, why does American investors have to take all the growth rounds? I mean, there are two simple answers. One, we don't have all the growth investors yet. This takes time. We're still a young ecosystem. And B, why not? The US market is the largest B2B software market in the world. So why would you not want to have a local partner to really crack that super important market? There's no German company that cannot be in the US to be then in the end kind of a global champion. And so it's a natural course in my view.
Sorry for the background noises. My four-year-old has a friend, and apparently it wasn't the best idea of my life to give them both plastic lightsabers to play with. We love second and third tier cities here in our podcast. Is there potential for some of those cities to develop in globally relevant startup hubs, like not the completely broad ones, like when we're talking about Berlin, Munich, Munich, London, Paris, but rather like specific industry? Odense in Denmark comes to mind as one of the examples here.
Yeah, I mean, if we're looking not just in Germany, I think there are many of those cities that most people would not really think about, like Grenoble in the south of France, a huge high tech epicenter. The second largest fundraising round just happened there with a battery startup, Verkor, and nobody really knows, I would say, what's going on in Grenoble or if there's anything happening there. The same with Bordeaux, the whole Airbus campuses, and so lead to a lot of innovation. But if we're looking closer, even Constance, I think there's a lot of mechanical engineering talent there. And so we see some more robotic companies coming out of that. I wouldn't say there are yet global headquarters of a certain industry or so, but there's a lot of promise that it's not just coming from Berlin and Munich and Paris. It's very diverse and attracting different types of talents.
Mm-hmm. Talking about deal count here, more funding for high quality founders. Before I forget, I had one thing in mind that I want to talk with you about, because that's for your little advertising slot here, NGP Capital. You guys are also in the US. Would you say that you are one of the investor startups should consider when they are thinking about entering the US market?
That's a That's a fun question. Yes, of course. No, I think we're one of the few that have local presence, speaks a local language, literally, but also have a one common fund that invests in both regions together. So we're all in the same boat and incentivized in the right way.
Mm-hmm. Talked about deal count here before I interrupted myself. More funding for high quality founders, you write. What are high quality founders? And would you say the founders here in Germany are different, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, DACH, than, for example, in Silicon Valley, Bangalore, or Silicon Roundabout?
Yeah, very much. My experience is mostly US, so cannot really talk as much about London, but Silicon Valley and New York, you have often second, third generation founders already, people that haven't done anything else in their lives yet. They were part of eBay's early days and those type of things. We just don't have that in Germany yet, right? So naturally, we see more great people coming out of consultancy, investment banks, old industry, or straight up students, which is great. Overall, the culture, of course, is also different. Americans are extremely like fake it until you make it. And that's sometimes all you need really to believe in it and go the extra mile. In Germany, sometimes you have more of that engineering mindset, more of like, I'm telling you what's wrong with me and you don't have to find out. That's not of course, that's sometimes a culture clash between an American investor and German founder saying, yeah, that's wrong with me, but you know, please invest in us.
I always have in mind a former boss for me on one of the projects. He was from Schwaben, the area around Stuttgart. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you're not getting yelled at, that's praise enough. That's completely different than the American culture here. Just to give you a little hint here about that. I also found very interesting Record AI funding as AI arms race intensifies. So reads one of your slides here. Mm-hmm. They are Germany, Austria, and Switzerland are profiting from the AI arms race. There are many interesting startups here. You may know Alab Alpha, who just got an investment from SAP, or DeepL from Cologne, you just mentioned. Are there some other hidden gems you would like to highlight?
I mean, I think when we talk about AI, I think sometimes we're too limited into like what has AI in the name, and we're forgetting all the other companies that are maybe a robotic company, and without AI they wouldn't be able to do what they do. And here we have hundreds of examples, really. Robco, for example, from Munich, they wouldn't be able to create such a easy interface, same as Foodcore Robotics from Konstanz, without the use of AI. Programming robots has been very, very hard in the past, and AI is automating a lot of that. But also Rasa AI, that the one I mentioned earlier, it's more on the contextual AI side, but it's in the same universe. So I would say there are a lot of hidden champions. And what we really like is where you have a business logic and you're using AI now to make something 10x better. It's not just, you don't have to like say we're the AI company, that's just makes us better. But what is the 10x that AI gives you that others couldn't do before the technology was as mature as it is today?
That's a good saying, using AI to make it 10x better. We are getting very close to the end. Everybody who would like to learn more, go down here in the show notes. There's a link to our blog post, and there you can go through the whole presentation. You can get all the data, see it, download it, whatever you like. But I have one trick question for you. If you could be the CEO of one of those AI startups, like any in the DACH region, which one would you choose?
Oh, in the DACH region. Otherwise, I have that Hugging Face in New York. I'm a big fan of that company. But I would say Aleph Alpha. I like what the team is doing there. They're going at it extremely aggressive, extremely like all or nothing type of approach. I really applaud them for that. So that would be my choice.
Yeah, they have been frequently mentioned in our startup news. Do you also, as an investor, think that is just the start of an investment spree in AI?
Yeah, definitely. We are in the very beginning. Keeping this 10x in mind right now, we are at an early day in terms of how AI is really providing business value. It is providing a lot of business value, but for such a 1% of the population, and we will see massive increase in yeah, efficiency and cost down and revenue up type of applications that are powered all by AI. And that really serves humans. Like, humans don't have to do certain tedious tasks anymore. They can focus on the creative part, on the part that actually humans are much better than machines. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yes. What comes to mind is people may know that I'm a freelance consultant. And since ChatGPT is around, I never had to think about writing a cover letter, just putting in the highlights and get it written. That is awesome. Christian, thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Everybody who would like to learn more, we link your LinkedIn profile down here in the show notes, as well as your research, plus the website of your VC fund, NGP Capital. Sorry, have to talk slowly here. And there people can find out what you're looking for, and there'll also be a link to pitch you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.